today on Rich in Relationship. How do you deal with, negotiate your child support, your alimony with the toughest possible person on the other side that you can negotiate with? A narcissist. It's not that they see us as some lowly ant that they have to crush. It's not that there's something wrong with us. It's they are so damaged that they're using others to uplift themselves. We're going to talk today about the personal transformation that occurs, how we hear, process, and communicate, how we do, act, and even how we are in the world to moving to a place of clarity, of being a feeling full and complete, even in the face of their gaslighting. Welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. And we are continuing the series. The big theme right now at Rich in Relationship is asset division, child support, alimony, and these individual podcasts are all about how do you deal with, negotiate your child support, negotiate your alimony in particular, with the toughest possible person on the other side that you can negotiate with, a narcissist. And so last episode of these individual podcasts, not the interview ones, we talked all about the opportunity for us in separating ourselves from a narcissist, right? And to give you a quick summary, the opportunity is rediscovering who we are, being personally empowered, understanding who they are, learning how to negotiate with them, with this person who, because of the circumstances of their life, has been so hurt, so injured, and is wired to feel better than at the expense of us. That's their wiring. They're wired for it. It's not that they see us as some lowly ant that they have to crush. It's not that there's something wrong with us. It's they are so damaged that they're using others to uplift themselves. And the reason why narcissism is considered a mental illness is because these are broken personalities. And we talked last week about the scale of narcissism. Mother Teresa is a 1. Diagnosis of narcissism, destructive narcissism is a 10. And how many of us can fall on that scale also. And that's because we all have elements of brokenness in us. We all have emotional disconnects. We all have lessons that we have yet to learn to help us to become bigger, more generous-hearted people. People who feel they can afford to be generous today. We can afford to be generous because we have so much, as opposed to the narcissist who feels they have so little that they have to take their sense of self-esteem, their sense of goodness, their sense of being right, just human beings at the expense of others. These are people who feel they have so little, they have to take it from others. And it's not unusual, by the way, for those of us who are separating ourselves or have separated ourselves from a narcissist to have actually been trying to help them. It is not unusual for us to, in our generosity, to have actually gone along with them on some level because we thought maybe it would benefit them. We felt it would benefit us and we felt it would benefit them. And then after a while, we feel so small, we feel so limited that we burst out. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the transformation, right? We talked about the opportunity last week or last episode. I'm not sure when these things air. I'm a little out of sync with that, but that last episode that I did individually on narcissism, we talked about the opportunity for us in coming out from under their thumb and becoming free agents and how we can help our children and even help them, the other person, the narcissist in the process. We're going to talk about today about the personal transformation that occurs. And I've alluded to it in the opening here, right? We're moving from feeling small, uncertain, unsure, and not clear about how we hear, process, and communicate, how we do, act, and even how we are in the world to moving to a place of clarity, of being a feeling full and complete in ourselves. And part of that is coming up from under the thumb or wing of the narcissist, that part of that transformation. And To illustrate this transformation, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm becoming a better storyteller. And in that becoming, there may be things that I miss, and please forgive me. And I want to be really clear that this is a true story that I'm telling you. And what I want you to, I'm going to remind you about the stories that I tell on this podcast is they tend to be composites of people that I've worked with, because I don't want to tell anyone's single story, because that would be a breach of confidence. It'd be sharing something about them that maybe they don't want me to share, and that I never use the names of my clients, but I do take elements from the work that I've been doing with clients and share those elements. And I do that because I can tell the story, a better story, when it's something I've actually been involved with. And I do that because I can do it without betraying a confidence when I do it in that way. So I want to be really clear. This is a story. This is, what do they say in the movies? This is based on actual events. It's based on actual events, but it is not a biography by any means. And if you're a client of mine and you, and this feels like I'm telling your story, be rest assured that I'm thinking of multiple people when I tell this story, not just you. And it may just be a coincidence that it overlaps with some of the occurrences, with all of the occurrences or the bulk of the occurrences in your life. It should only overlap with one or two occurrences in your life, if any. And with that, let's get started. The name of the client in the story is Jane. And the name, I want to say Tarzan, but that's, I'm thinking about the actual story of Tarzan and Jane. Yeah, why not? And the former husband of Jane was Tarzan. That's right. You've heard those names before. And it's perfect because if you've ever seen the Tarzan movies, and they're all of, there's a bunch of them, and they've been remade, and they're all somewhat dated, Tarzan always shows up as the protector in the jungle. He's the one who knows the deal, right? He's the one who's telling Jane how things are. Except in the story of the real story of Tarzan and Jane, Tarzan really did understand the jungle, Jane not so much. But there were things that Jane understood about relationships that Tarzan not so much. So Jane had power in those movies. This Jane was in a marriage where slowly but surely all of her sense of personal power was being eroded and stripped away. She met Tarzan through her profession. They were both doing the same kind of work. They were both doctors, let's say. They were both doctors. And over time, Tarzan convinced Jane that she wasn't a good doctor, that she shouldn't be a doctor, that really what she should be is the mother of their children. Right? They had a child together, and Tarzan was like, Jane, you need to really take care of the children. And by the way, you're not really a very good doctor anyway. Like, you did well in school and you passed the medical exams, but you're really not a very good doctor. And Jane, really loving her children and honoring Tarzan, said, okay. And Jane started looking into other kinds of work. When the children became kindergarten age, and Tarzan got really upset about that, Tarzan was like, no, Jane, you need to really be a stay-at-home mom. I like you here. The kids need you here. And they had a shared religion. And in their religion, the man is to be obeyed. In their version of this, and I want to be clear, this is separate from spirituality, right? Spirituality is where we feel a connection to something bigger than ourselves, and we feel guided in our lives by this higher power. Religion is where there's an interpretation of how you should live that's taken out of a text usually. And that interpretation, there's only one way to interpret it, and that's the way that religion interprets it. And in this religion, in their particular version of this religion, he was supposed to be obeyed. And Jane had been raised in this religion, and so she said, okay. But still, something tugged on her heart. She felt like she needed more. And every time she started to explore this alternate career, as her kids got into kindergarten, and she started to get her life back, right? We all know how that works. When you're the stay-at-home parent, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, I've been the stay-at-home dad, right? There's this point where your kids are in kindergarten and then they're in first grade, right? And you start to get time back, right? They're in school from 8 to 3. You've got time. I used to run a business. I'd get up in the morning at 4 or 5 and I would set up the work for the day. I'd make sure my crews went out. Then I would get my kids up at 6:30 or 7 and I would feed them and I would take them to school. And then from 8 to 3, I would go out in the field and work with my teams and do sales work and work with my clients. At 3 p.m., I would pick my kids up and then I would make them a snack and I would set them up doing homework. And while they were doing homework, I would do my bookkeeping and stuff like that. And then after I put them to bed, I would do other work, right? You get time back. She got time back, only from 8 to 3, she didn't have a business. And she felt not fulfilled completely. As a mother, she felt fulfilled. To some extent, as a wife, she had fulfillment. She was doing what she was raised to believe was the right thing to do in relationship to Tarzan. But individually, something was missing. She wasn't developing and growing certain aspects of herself, right? And in any relationship, in any partnership, the individual thrives first, and then the two individuals, as they thrive, feed the relationship, and the relationship thrives. That's not what was happening here. What was happening here was Tarzan was thriving and growing in his individual work. He wasn't super engaged with the kids. And when he was, it was only to hand down one kid, he would say, you are a piece of crap. And the other kid, he would say, you are the golden child. You're so amazing. And he would reinforce it. And Jane, by the way, became the piece of crap in this relationship. So one child he would identify as being more like Jane, and the other child he would identify as being more like him. And Jane saw this going on. And even though she loved the uplifting of the one child as the golden child, she identified with and felt bad for the child that was the scapegoat. And she stopped wanting that. And so she continued to investigate a career. And Jane decided that she wanted to go into teaching. And she went to school to become a teacher. And the whole time, Tarzan said, why are you doing this? This is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. Jane, someone needs to take care of the kids. And Jane said, I'm going to school. While the kids are in school, it really doesn't interrupting. And Tarzan would argue, though, if Jane were doing homework, Tarzan would say, oh, but it's taking you away from me. Why aren't you spending time with me? What's wrong with you? How can you be doing this? How can you be so selfish? He's just hammering her. And eventually, something woke up in Jane. She saw this pattern. She saw how she and this the younger child were being put down and oppressed. And she realized that this isn't really what she signed up for. And she decided it was time to step out. And Jane went through all the things we talked about in the last podcast, by the way. At first, she thought, if I hit him with divorce papers, it will change him. And it didn't. So now they're well into court. This is when Jane and I started working together, by the way. At this point, Jane contacted me around this time that she realized he wasn't going to change and that she really was going to have to divorce him. And guess what? Jane had a little trouble trusting, right? So Jane and I actually had a relationship, of email relationship. She got on a free call with me, right? We had the free call. She said, all right, how does this work? And I told her what programs I had. And she said, okay, thank you. And she checked out, right? And I was like, all right, cool. Some of my favorite clients have come on to me with me this way. Some of my favorite clients have just signed on also, I want to be clear. But it's really what makes some of these clients who take the outer loop back to working with me so special is that when they share the journey of the outer loop. And so she went on this outer loop and she hired an attorney, very aggressive attorney, because she realized he wasn't going to change. And she knew that he was dedicated to kicking butt. So she hired a bulldog attorney to kick butt. And she contacted me and we talked a little. We had some email exchanges and I made her an offer and she said, okay, thank you. And then she went through some court stuff and found out that he had been slandering her to their friends and found out that even though in his meetings with her, he was wonderful and kind and presented as this benevolent savior. What really was going on when he wasn't with her is that he was presenting to her friends that she was this evil person who was trying to steal the children from him and started showing all the, and that she was mentally ill. He started saying, she is mentally ill, right? And started giving evidence of her instability and her mental illness. All, if I relayed them to you, we don't have time for that right now, but if I relayed them to you, you'd be like, oh, that's regular stuff. But he would cobble them together to make it look like there was a pattern of bad mothering going on of someone who really didn't care. Now, I want you to know that I worked with Jane for a while, and she adores her children. She would give up her life for her children. Just want to be clear about that. So finally, she said to me, listen, I don't know what to do. I feel like no matter what I do, I'm losing to this guy. I'm afraid he's going to take the children from me. I need help. And she finally trusted me. And I guess what happened was, my guess is that she hasn't said this, never said this, but my guess would be that when you're in a relationship with Tarzan, it's really hard to trust another man to not tell you how to live. And she, Jane tested me, by the way. She would say to me, what do you think I should do? And I would say, I don't know, Jane. I'm not the person who decides what you should do. You are. And then we would work on finding what she would want. Like, she would test. She was testing. I was in those calls before we started working together, testing to see if I was going to tell her how to live, testing to see if I thought I knew better than her about her life. And I finally, once I proved to her that I really cared about her and what she wanted, and that this kernel, this light, this little flickering candle of who she was that was left was meant to blossom and grow into a raging, bright spotlight, a lighthouse, that she was meant to, this flickering candle was meant to become a lighthouse for others, a beacon for others. Once she got that's what I was about, then she jumped in 100%. And the next thing that came up was the other myth that we talked about, was she realized, oh my God, the courts believe him. And so we started working on systematically accumulating evidence of his inconsistencies, because the story he would present was that he was so wonderful and he was so good and he was so consistent, and Jane is so inconsistent. And so trying to steal the kids from him. And so she systematically collected evidence for the court, because they weren't just, he's a charismatic guy. They bought his stuff at first. The forensic psychologist bought his stuff at first. And working with her attorney, they turned all that around. Took time, piece by piece, they turned that around. But the big change for Jane, I want to be really clear. How did Jane make that shift? How did she go from that flickering candle to becoming that lighthouse, that beak of hope? We sat down and I offered her a way through. The first way was, she was involved in a divorce detox program that we have here. And built into the divorce detox program is a workbook. Usually I have one, I wave it around like a good marketer, but I'm a bad marketer today, but I'm a great coach and a great partner. In the divorce detox book is a systematic way of identifying, where do these patterns come from that allowed me to become enmeshed with this narcissist? And what are the incomplete emotions, and what are the limiting beliefs that I need to exercise and learn from, so that I can let go of the past and move into this bright, shiny new future? And Jane didn't do it. So here we are, we're working together. We're like, I don't know how many weeks into it. We were maybe 7 weeks into working together, and she wasn't doing the book. And I said, Jane, listen, if you don't do the process, if you don't see the pattern and the collected emotions and the core limiting belief that's drew you into this unhealthy relationship with Tarzan, then this work is fruitless. Like, you'll get divorced and you'll just be stuck in this pattern. Your kids are going to become either imprisoned you or overpowering Tarzan. They're not going to have healthy relationships. If you don't do the work, you can't change the pattern. And so as an alternative to the workbook process, we have what's called mental and emotional release, which comes through Dr. Matt James. It's a validated, tested means of releasing old emotions and limiting beliefs. That's a very intensive. It's like the divorce detox book done intensively in an 8 to 10 hour process, where we do an intensive personal history. We find out what are the emotions, what are the incidences where emotions have been locked down: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, shame, anxiety even. And what do we need to do to release them? And how do we let go of this limiting belief? And then we work together afterwards for 6 months with a new vision of who Jane is. It's actually the Jane she always was that is finally emerging, the Jane that got submerged, the Jane that got gaslit, brainwashed, repressed, depressed, put down by Tarzan. That true Jane who is a leader, that true Jane who is confident, that true Jane who knows what's best for herself and knows what's best for her children, that true Jane who knows her strengths, who knows her sense of purpose in life, who knows her sense of mission in life, was able to emerge as a result of that process. And over those 6 months, we tweaked and changed the strategy that she created in that process so that Jane continued to emerge and grow, and her children continued to thrive. And she went from thinking, I have to have full custody of these children because I can't let him influence them, to realizing that they needed to have their father in their life so that she could show them this is the way of light and truth. And then there's the little world that he's living in, and you get to decide what fits you best. If you want to live in a small box, then live in a small box. If you want to live in a big, open, light-filled world, live in a big, open, light-filled world. She needed them to have an experience with them so that they could see and choose. Because the truth is, the world is filled with Tarzans. He's not the only danger to these children. The world is filled with people like this who think only of themselves, or mostly of themselves, who are willing to sacrifice their children, your children, my children, so that they can feel bigger and better. And what Jane realizes, she needed to model, how do you handle people like that without making Tarzan look bad, without finger pointing at him? She learned, she taught her children strategies for dealing with narcissistic behavior and how to be light and love and how to shine on the dark crevices, the hidden places, so that the foolishness of that lifestyle is revealed. And that, my friends, is a story of transformation. And I speak about it with such passion because I've been through that transformation. I am so moved by it every time I get to watch someone go through that. And to have her move from the divorce detox to the mental and emotional release process, I basically gave her a money back guarantee. I said, listen, if this thing doesn't work, we'll just go back to the divorce detox and you won't pay anything more. And if it does work, you won't pay anything more. When we're done, you can just pay off the difference over time in little increments. Like, I had to make it really safe for her. And I do that because this is a process that works. I've seen it work again and again and again and again. And no one's ever come for the money back. But we're here to talk about the transformation, not money back guarantee. So Jane today is running her own children's center and teaching children with special needs. And guess what? It's not unusual for her to be teaching children who are coming out of families that have a similar dynamic, because Jane understands this dynamic. She's been on the inside and on the outside, and she knows the way through. And so she is that shining light. She is that beacon of hope. She is empowered and strong. She's like a whole nother human being. And yet that person was always there. And I encourage you, if you're in some part of this transformation, whether you're in that narcissistic relationship, stepping out of that narcissistic relationship, or outside of it, but still struggling with it, to consider having that transformation. And as always, you can contact me at richinrelationship.com. That's my email, rich, R-I-C-H, at richinrelationship.com. Reach out and I'll give you a free call, because my mission is to help people step into the light. And at the end of the call, you do whatever feels right to you. There's no obligation. But the guarantee is that you'll have a next step so that you'll know what to do next. All right, my friends, with that, we're going to end this segment. And the next segment in this piece is going to be how you can really own this transformation. And I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. And also look out for, we got a number of guest interviews with attorneys about how to approach the legal side. And there's also the emotional side that I speak to in those interviews. That's all part of this month's series in the podcast. Thank you for having and have a wonderful, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming and having and have a wonderful tomorrow.